And Lenny Kravitz there, Let Love Rule. You are in your face here at 3CR with James. I am thrilled to have Elf Alpha and Teddy Klitter in the studio, two wonderful drag kings. Gee, guys, you're amazing. Tell us about yourselves. And hello, by the way.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, happy to be here.
Yes, I'm Teddy Klitter. I am your gay midlife crisis bogan dad extraordinaire of Smith Street, and I love drag. What about you, Elf?
Hi, my name is Elf Alpha. I may be named after a vegetable, but I dress like a fruit. Very happy to be here as well. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. It's great to see you both. So tell us about these midlife crises that you're so good at dealing with, Teddy.
It's just working on Smith Street, isn't it? I am a resident entertainer at UBQ, and every day is a midlife crisis when you work in hospo.
Wow. What can you tell us about some of those little anecdotes?
Well, I host a show every Friday called Teddy's World. So I get to bring everyone all the camp, chaos and shenanigans each and every Friday night. It's bring the party. You have a good time. Come to my world and forget about yours for a couple of hours. It's always a good time. Always a good time.
That is so good and so therapeutic for everybody. Tell us about your love of fruit, Elf.
Oh, my goodness. My love of fruit. Well, gosh, what can I say about my love of fruit? I think I'm just a bit of a fruity guy myself.
Well, the reason why I ask is you have a Melbourne Fringe show.
I do.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's called Alf Alpha's Cocktail Hour. It will be at Grouse Melbourne on the wonderful Smith Street in Fitzroy. And it is a comedy cocktail demonstration where I will be teaching people how to make cocktails, but also talking about the disappearance of lesbian bars in Melbourne.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? What's going on there?
Well, it's quite interesting. I mean, I go into it in the show, but I think there's this attitude, right, that lesbians just don't go out and that we stay at home, you know, we're partnered up, we're coupled, we've got our dogs or our pets or whatever, and we don't like going out. We don't, you know, need those spaces because we just stay at home, which is just not true. It's completely false.
It's so interesting. I'm old enough to remember in the 1990s when it was like 1 in 10 lesbians was a drag king, you know?
Yes.
You guys are really good at talking about inclusivity within the drag king community, yeah? Teddy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, we're still at a stage where drag kings are still unfortunately breaking the cusp of our mainstream entertainment and what a lot of people think and see, like that used to be so underground and now drag is very much in the forefront and it's still trying to convince the mainstream that kings are well worth your time. We are entertaining and more than worth your booking, my friends. Each and every time. We'll bring you the show.
It is so good to talk to entertainers who are based on Smith Street. Elf, what's it like for you being an entertainer on Smith Street?
Oh, wow. What a great question. Personally, I love it. I love my little bubble. So I grew up here and around Fitzroy. And I also work on Smith Street. So I've worked quite a few of the gay bars on Smith Street as a bartender, as well as a drag king. So I've really found my community here in Smith Street, I think. You know, I feel very welcome. You start to meet the regulars every time. You kind of start to meet the locals, which is really lovely. They start to get to know you. You get to meet people in a really intimate way, not just kind of as a customer. You know, I've started to make a lot of friends by just frequenting Smith Street a lot, which is quite lovely. It feels, you know, has kind of more of a small town feel some days.
I absolutely love meeting people who grew up on Smith Street because I lived in the area back in the 90s. And, you know, even back then, people would say, how long you been here for? Because, you know, so many people in the queer community were from somewhere else. They came here. But you have been here all your life. And so you've seen some incredible change. Tell us about that.
Yeah, wow. I think the most change that I've seen recently has been in about the last 5 years since I started drag. I think I see like a really big difference from my first year in drag compared to now my fifth or sixth year in drag now. Again, yeah, as Teddy, you were saying, like the inclusivity and more drag kings, I think, are coming up in the scene now, which is really exciting. The only thing now is that we need more spaces for them. I think is the biggest thing. And I think that a lot of venues are really trying to make that change and are really now thinking more about, oh, hang on, like, let's look at our lineups and let's try and get more of a diverse cast happening every week. I think that people are starting to think about it more, which I think is a good thing. But obviously, let's keep pushing it. Let's keep going. Let's not just think about it, but let's action it.
Teddy, you originated from Geelong as a drag king. Is that where you started?
Yes, that is exactly where I started. I started in Geelong and I was catching the V line up to do baby drag on a Thursday and then immediately finishing baby drag to catch the last V line train back to Geelong. And I've been working as a chef in hospo for a while, so it was very convenient when I first got up to Melbourne. A chef job just so happened to be available here on Smith Street, and I was like, I'll take that. Thank you. So starting from Geelong was always like a wild time. Like, oh, I've got to get into drag and go on the V line. It'll be fine.
It's so interesting. You are the second kind of person in the queer community doing entertainment from Geelong that I have spoken to since July. Yeah, and there's a few others around, of course, as well. But that is really, really exciting that you've got the regional kind of, you know, take on what drag kings are like and how they're received. And then you've come here to Smith Street as well. Tell us about your start in Geelong as a drag king.
Oh, the start in Geelong as a drag king was obviously when we were all in lockdown. So I got so bored and I was like, what am I going to do after all this stuff has finished? And I was like, I'll just start this drag thing. And then even then, my first gig was in Footscray, not even in Geelong. So it was good to start in Geelong and kind of just be able to make my way up into the city and move out of Geelong and be where I belong, which is on Smith Street with everyone and all my chosen family. And it's so great.
But your drag king persona and origins were developed in Geelong.
Yeah.
Like there's no denying, you know, you can take you out of Geelong, but it's still there.
It is. The bogan is still quite harsh. And I have some people who like talk to me for a while and then they'll pick up my bogan accent and won't be able to talk not bogan for the rest of the night, and I love it.
We've got your flannel on, a very stylish red one, by the way.
Yes, thank you. My blanket, as I like to call it, for this Melbourne wild weather.
So, Elf, what have you been up to lately as a performer?
Wow, it's really been about Fringe. So this is my first time doing the Melbourne Fringe Festival. I developed my show Elf Alpha's Cocktail Hour during midsummer earlier this year. So it's been really exciting, actually, to do my first Fringe Festival, especially this year. There's been so many opportunities for artists. You may have seen me in Federation Square just on Tuesday for the opening. We had our non-stop go-go dancing, which was really exciting. So I was there in my 70s suit, getting my dad dancing on, getting my go-go moves out. That was fantastic. And yeah, we've just done a photo shoot for a cocktail book that we will be making as of merch for our show as well. We've got some fantastic shots. Shout out to Imogen Ellis and Margot Fink for photographing that for me. The photos are absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to show everybody. It's going to be really exciting. And I've been working with, this is the first time I've been working with a director for the show. So my director is Liv Bell, aka Pip Stachio. Big shout out there. They've been amazing to work with. So they've done a lot of clowning theatre, which I've always been really interested in. So we've been working together to make the show as silly as possible, as funny as possible, as camp and outlandish as we can possibly make it.
Fantastic. Now, Teddy, you are performing tonight.
Yes, I am.
Tell us more about that.
So that's my weekly show, Teddy's World. It's all things pop camp and shenanigans. And this evening I am joined by drag legends Susie Ridge and Prozac. So I'm quite excited for that one. It's more of a variety show. I get all kinds of people on, whether they're more emerging drag artists or they're living legends in our scene. And it's a low pressure night. It's all done by 11 o'clock. So if you're looking for an earlier show, show's 9 to 11, then you go home to bed. It's great. It's quite camp.
What do you like on stage?
Very loud, obviously. And then I'll have a few Beveragino's, as I would quote myself, and I get louder and more outlandish and more fun, and I just tend to want to bring the party and let everyone just forget about things for a little while. You come to my show, you're going to have a good time. We're all going to get lit. It's a Friday night. Let's party.
Alf, tell us more about your persona on stage.
Oh, Alf is... I like to call him, like, it's very feminine masculine, where he's definitely a man, but he may be a little bit more limp-wristed than the average man you see day to day. He's very excitable. He's always looking for connection with the audience, always looking to please, looking to serve people, which sometimes can be a good thing, but sometimes can't. Is not always a good thing. But he's always wanting to put on a show, or you'll always leave laughing with a big smile on your face. Yes.
Teddy, what's it like when your character, your drag king persona emerges and all of a sudden you get to know them? Any surprises?
The main surprise is I definitely come out of my shell more, and I'll be less socially anxious with people. So I talk to so many more people than what I would normally do day to day. Because day to day, I work at the same venue at UBQ. I'm just there to do my job and get whatever I need to do and get done. But then once the Teddy mask goes on, it's a different person. He's fun and wants to talk to everyone and be everyone's best friend.
So in some ways, you know, people's alter egos in the queer world are kind of life-saving, aren't they? Because they give us a connection to ourselves and a part of ourselves that may have been repressed by all that queer phobia out there. Alf, what are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. I created my persona Alf right after I had dropped out of performing arts school. And I was looking at, what do I do with myself now? You know, I need a creative outlet. I found school really overwhelming, but I still wanted that, you know, I wanted to do something. So that was when I found Kong's Kings. Shout out to Kong's Kings, which is a drag king group here in Melbourne. They've been running for quite a few years now, and they run an open mic called New Kongs. And I saw this sign up on Facebook and went, what the hell, this sounds amazing. I'd never heard of a drag king before. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to try my hand at it, signed up. And that's where I met a lot of my friends now, like Randy Roy was one of the first drag kings I ever met. And I sent him a message. I was like, you know what, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to blind message and hope they respond saying, hi, Randy, you don't know me, but I'm about to do my first ever drag show. I have nothing to wear. Can you help me? And they said, yep. Sure, I'll help you. What size are you? Let me get you a suit jacket. And I was like, oh my God, this person I've never met before is being so kind to me and offering a hand to help me and support me in my first ever show. And it was just fantastic. And we're still friends today. And I think it's really... Sorry, I've forgotten the question.
Well, it's just so fascinating. The gears kicked in and gave you that momentum. All of a sudden, you had an outfit and you were doing an open mic. Tell us more about this Drag Kings open mic. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, so they haven't run one in a while, but I think if anyone is looking for an open mic and is a drag king or is wanting to get into drag, I would definitely check out Genesis. They are an amazing space for emerging performers, and they do open mics every month at Cafe Gummo, I believe.
Yeah.
It's run by Randy Roy, and it is a fantastic space. If you've got new material you want to try, if you just want to have a go, if you want to do, it's not just for lip syncs either or traditional drag acts. If you want to do spoken word poetry, if you want to live sing, if you want to, you know, talk about politics on stage, you can do whatever you like, and there's a space for it. And I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Teddy, what is the trippiest gig you've ever done?
Oh, the trippiest gig I've ever done. Normally it's just anything in day drag when you have to go to somewhere during the day and you're like, oh no, I'm fully exposed to everyone right now in the middle of this sun. It's just been wild the places that drag can take you to. Like the strangest place I've done drag in was a gym. Pony Club gym for an event called Chubby. I don't think it's running anymore, but it was a plus size party, and here I am doing a number in the gym, and I was like, honestly, this is so great. It was so amazing just to be doing drag in a gym. And then I've done large corporate parties, and I was at the Kangan Institute not long ago doing their Wear It Purple Day. And it's just like the places that drag can take you is amazing. Some of the dressing rooms are scarier, but you know, otherwise, oh, I've been to so many great places.
Tell us about these dressing rooms.
Oh, I went to a pub, like a nice little pub venue one night, and they put us in this little like broom closet, but there was no roof. There was no roof attached. We've got a tent out the back in the shed at UBQ that we all get ready in. Otherwise, they're all like incredibly small boxes, and you have to be very mindful of where you're putting all your stuff and making sure no one else's stuff magically goes into your bag, because that has happened to me before. I've taken someone's spoon one day. It wasn't my finest moment.
How about you, Elf? The trippiest gig?
Oh, the trippiest gig. I think I've got two answers. I did a party in Sydney called Blanky Pop, and that was all under UV lights, and that was pretty trippy in the most kind of like traditional sense of the word trippy, I suppose. So I'd done like a sad clown look, and I had my face all painted in white clown makeup with UV paints that I'd bought specifically. So, and I was making balloon animals. So it was like a roaming gig. So I didn't speak a word, and people would come up to me and I would give them abstract balloon animals and I would hand them to them, or I would make them costumes made entirely out of balloons, and I would like tie it around their body and do that, which was like so much fun. I loved that gig. And I think like the most, another trippy, which was like, oh, this is a bit strange, but loved it again, was in Echuca. I think that's probably the most regional gig that I've done. And it was in a warehouse in the middle of nowhere in Echuca for a children's like circus showcase. So they were all doing their end of term showcase, aged from like 5 years old to 14 years old. And I was hosting in drag, in full drag. To a bunch of like all adults in the audience, kind of like here to see their children perform and do forward roles. And there I was in full drag going, hi, everybody, how are we doing? And I think they enjoyed themselves. I don't know if they understood it or got it, but we all had a good time in the end.
How about you, Teddy? What's the best gig you've done?
Oh, the best gig I've done. Do you know what? I actually recently had a very good experience in Nil. Of all places.
Neil.
Yeah, so I'm with a drag entertainment company essentially called Drag 2, and they will send us out very regional, and they were like, you're going to Neil. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was a gorgeous, like, 1920s, like, art deco pub we pulled up to, and you're the two most queer things in the middle of nowhere. Everyone was so lovely. It was amazing.
There was a great Australian movie, The Road to Nil. It was actually made in Pyramid Hill, but it's one of those kind of iconic Dust Bowl towns, right?
It was so lovely there.
And the theatre. It must have been amazing.
The peace, the quiet, all the old biddies being nurses and me stressing that maybe they're going to try and steal me and take me home. And I was like, I wouldn't complain. I'd get looked well looked after. But
indeed. So, Elf, was your best gig, do you think, the one in the Echuca?
Oh, that is, it's so hard to choose, right? Because I've done so many gigs that I'm just so proud of. But I do have to say, I think I am really proud of this show that I've written for Fringe. When we did it for Midsummer Festival, we sold out two of the three nights. So opening night of that show for a show that I hadn't performed before as a debut solo show was, I did get very emotional at the end of that show to see, oh my God, this is a room packed full of people just to see me here. That was definitely a highlight. And I think another highlight was also when we broke the world record for most amount of drag kings marching in one float together for Mardi Gras. So a few years ago, I got flown to Sydney to march in a huge group of drag kings, and our goal was to break the world record. The previous world record was held in New Zealand. We were like, nah, we can do better than that. Let's get us all together. So, we all flew together. We're all in matching outfits. There was this huge float of beautiful drag kings all from all around Australia. We all marched together, and lo and behold, we did, in fact, break the world record.
And what number was that? What is that world record?
Oh, no, I can't remember.
It was 84, I believe. Somewhere between 80 and 100.
Yeah, I think so. I feel terrible that I don't remember. But, yes, somewhere between 80 and 100 sounds right.
Wow, you know your drag king history.
I try my best to know all of my history, especially like drag history and everything else. And that's why I like to listen to a lot of our drag elders who've been around the block a few times, because they can tell me all kinds of crazy stories that used to happen.
Well, tell us the craziest story you've heard that you can tell us.
Yeah, that's the problem, that I can tell. That I can tell that's radio appropriate. Me, not so much.
Well, maybe there is one that's not. Maybe there isn't one that fits that bill, because they're all so risque, and that's how that's why we love them so much.
Yeah, it's definitely that, especially the drag of the 80s and the 90s a lot more risque than what we can provide to a lot of people these days.
One of my favourite stories is of Bumpy Favelle telling me, so I did a residency with NICA to research the link between circus history and drag king history in Melbourne. And they were telling me how they used to dress up as politicians and give each other lobotomies on stage. So there were two drag kings. They did a number of two Australian politicians at the time. And yeah, they cut each other's brains open. They had all this like special effects makeup underneath, and yeah, were pulling each other's like brains out and squirting fake blood everywhere. It just sounded incredible.
Who were the politicians?
I don't remember. It would have been whoever the Prime Minister was at the time. I think it might have been John Howard, actually.
I can imagine that happening. Yeah, that was he was a focal point of our drag kings. Yes, in the early 2000s and late 90s. I remember it well. Yes. Fantastic. Well, Elf's Cocktail Hour, Elf's Cocktail Hour is happening at Grouse October 14 to October 18, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
And Teddy Clinton, you are on tonight at Grouse.
Well, no, I'm on tonight at UBQ.
UBQ.
For Teddy's World. I'm there every Friday. So fantastic. That's all. Yeah, I'm excited. I've got to go back to the bar now and put a face and makeup on and do my kitchen shift and then entertain the divas.
Fantastic. Well, Teddy Clitter and Elf Alpha, it has been wonderful to meet you at 3CR. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.